Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
You're listening.
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
All right, so this is something I just figured out about you, Todd.
What?
All right, so we're batch recording all these, and the first episode that we did this morning was episode 466. So listeners, if you haven't listened to that really quickly and just see how Todd reacted during the intro of that. And compared to the way that he did the intro, this one, you have a lot more energy
on this.
Yeah. And you know why I think?
Well, two reasons. I was trying to figure out if I was going to get feedback on the headphones. So I was trying to unravel headphones and do this. The second reason is I am 3/4 of the way through a rock star.
I think there's one more reason, though. First episode. I think there's one more reason.
What's that?
Because in episode 466, for about 18 minutes, we talked about Leadership Pipeline.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can get slightly fired up about
Leadership Pipeline. Just slightly. So make sure to listen to that, because actually that episode has a lot to do with what we are talking about on this episode, which is what characteristics and abilities would make a great number two guy in a multi-site campus. So we're not going to talk about all the core competency stuff that we typically would, and the 60 to 70% of shared core competencies and what's unique to that role and the importance of creating an equipping culture. All of the stuff, all of that is what's in episode 466 and a lot of the Leadership Pipeline consulting that we've done and continue to do. But we want to hone in maybe on that 30 to 40% of the ministry specific skills, right? So what characteristics and abilities would make a great number two guy in a multi-site campus? Guy or girl?
So there's an article. So inevitably, anytime we go and do a pipeline with a room full of pastors, one of them is going to come up to Daniel or I and say, "Hey, what would it take to get you to come to my church and be the executive pastor?"
Yeah.
Almost every time. And so the first thing I tell them is, you probably really would not want me as your executive pastor, either one of us. The big thing that you need to first figure out is what is it that you actually need? Mm. And there is an HBR article, a second share article from 2010 that is absolutely amazing on this. And it talks about the six or seven different types of COO position. And so it goes through, you know, hey, here, it really all depends on who the number one person is. So whoever the senior pastor is, you really need to have someone support that person. So some guys need an administrative guy. Some guys need somebody who can run the staff, or some guys need a relational guy because that may be a weakness. You know, it just depends on who they are. Now, so with that, I would say very similarly, you have to look at the church and what the makeup of the overall church is to say, what does that senior role need to be? Mm. Because some churches have, you know, it's still a preaching role, and that person may be preaching every week and be part of a preaching team. In some situations, they're playing more of a campus host role during the service, but then during the week, they're playing the more pastoral role. And then the size of the venue, and you know, there's so many things that go into it. That's why I would say you need to step back and process this from a standpoint of, what are the different, I guess, scenarios or types of multi-site, and then kind of fit into that. Yeah. Does that make sense?
That does. So it makes a lot of sense that you're thinking about, okay, who is that campus pastor? So let's give a real example, all right? So I'm sure our campus pastors, I don't know if this episode's probably going to be listened to by the specific campus pastor that I'm talking about. But we don't just have one, so maybe it won't be all that. Anyway, so we're so one of our campus pastors, he is high energy. On the disc, he's like a high D. High energy, high D. He's just whole bundle of energy. I know I'm talking about a lot of energy, but he has that. And he can draw people to himself, and everything is a yes, we can do it. He's that kind of guy. He's an incredible team player, and he's going to do, he is doing an incredible job in this role. Yet we need to find a number two guy for him, right? So in that sense, we do video at our church. Each campus is doing, this one's probably going to be doing about 15 to 20 times live a year at the max. So he is, and he is on, he has been preaching, and I have been mentoring him in that way every time we put him up to bat here at our larger campus. So yeah, that's kind of a quick snapshot of who he is. Not the most systems guy. That's not necessarily his strongest right. suit, but he can operate within that. So he's a
DI.
That. Yeah.
Is he equally D and I?
I'm not too sure, but I know he does have that strong D.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you know, so if I'm looking for, so the reason why you've heard Daniel and I talk about every personality profile system that there is under the sun. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why the disc is helpful or beneficial, it's not the most scientific, it's not the most detailed, but it's the easiest for you to understand as listeners, because there's only four quadrants. And so anything that's a D or an I is at the top of the quadrant, and that is an active task-oriented person as a D, or an active people-oriented person that's an I, and then a more passive task-oriented person would be a C, and a passive people-oriented person would be an S. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, guys, just understand that we aren't in one box. We all are in, you know, at least two of the boxes, mm-hmm. usually fairly strong. So if we want to make sure that we're, you know, covering ourselves well, then we're going to usually look at opposites, or an opposite that we share a box with. So in marriage, I'm a DI, and I'm married to a DC. Mm. Because those things, you know, overlap. It makes sense. We, you know, opposites do attract, and at the same time, you're attracted to people that you have things in common with. Both are true, guys. And her strengths and my strengths are different. And so when I think of what a campus pastor needs, or a senior pastor needs, I'm thinking about, you know, what's going to make a good marriage. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to share maybe some of that drive. But at the same time, you know, I may be really driven and better with people, and you may be better driven. You may be really driven and better with the systems piece, or the task piece. Mm-hmm. And making sure that gets done. It's really about what gives me energy. Does the people piece give me energy, or the task piece give me energy? So I don't know. That's some thoughts that I have. Hopefully I didn't derail you.
No. It's very helpful, because I think the natural default is to, especially in a campus setting, I think it's any smaller campus or any smaller setting, you want to find someone that naturally that you like and that you get along with. And yes, there is a sense of the opposites attract, but there's also that sense of similarities. You get along with people better if you're similar to them. So when you think about it in terms of that initial, do I really get along with this person? You could be attracted to, so this guy has a woo, you know, in the StrengthsFinder, he's woo. He could be very much attracted to another person who has that woo, and it's like, oh yeah, we can take the world and conquer the world together if we just go ahead and do this. And it can be easy to find that and naturally default to that, but it's important, what I'm hearing from you, and I'd agree with it, is to know yourself, right? To know thyself, so that you can, especially in a number two role, find people that are actually complementary in suiting. So yeah, go ahead.
Right, so I'm from Kentucky. So, unfortunately, you're about to hear a horse analogy. Because when you have a team, when you have a team of horses, so for instance, if Daniel and I worked really well together, mm-hmm. because we overlap and we're similar enough, yet we didn't compete. Mm-hmm. And part of that is a, I don't know, a posture piece, mm-hmm. as well as a personality piece. But I think we did a really good job of working together, mm-hmm. To pull in the same direction. What can happen is you're attracted to someone who's similar, and then you end up competing.
Yeah.
Or pulling in opposite directions, or pulling enough out of sync. When one pulls enough out of sync, it ends up moving, to the left or to the right instead of straight down the row. Mm-hmm. I'm actually from, my people are from the mountains, and so there's a lot of those analogies that kind of come out of that when you're working with teams of horses or whatever. Now, I didn't do that because I'm of a different generation, but I hung out with my dad and uncles who did. Especially one uncle I've tried to get down here to Mule Days in Columbia, Tennessee, where they still have mule competitions.
Okay, Daniel. Okay. So let me ask you another question, and this might be a little bit too personal maybe for our listeners, but I'm sure there's someone else who's kind of like me in this way. Uh-huh. So I am right now, we have great candidates, but I'm right now looking for a couple executive pastors, right? Mm-hmm. So the thing that now, listeners, you obviously don't know me as much as Todd knows me, but even when we look at, I am a IC, my strengths finders, maximizer, learner, intellection, developer, strategic, and you can kind of go on and on about the other personality profiles, but I am a little bit of a generalist in many respects. So I think stronger at certain aspects than I am at others, but there are a few different areas where, I would say I am a little bit more of a generalist. So to someone like that, what would you say, or maybe even to me, what would you say would be a good profile for a number two guy?
Okay. So first of all, ICs are super, super rare. I'm not just saying that because it's Daniel. They're really rare. I had one at McLean that I absolutely loved. ICs are hard to lead, typically, as they continue to grow, because they're an anomaly. You're good with people and you're good with details, and nobody knows what to do with you. And it can be very... it would have been really easy for me to feel bad about myself with you around, because you're good at everything. And also given your personality and who you are and background and everything, there is that sense of we think you're perfect, and then
I'm definitely also,
not perfect. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. I'm not trying to do generalizations. Yeah. And if you think this is wrong, then we can take this out of the podcast. Yeah. But coming from an Asian culture, more of a saving face presentation, like all that is super important as well. And so that can be a little overwhelming to somebody, and they could feel intimidated by that.
Okay.
So you need somebody who is confident enough in themselves to be able to deal with that. Mm. I mean, luckily I was old enough. I'm older than you.
You knew who you are. Who you are. Yeah, yes, there's no, for sure. Yeah, so I did not.
And I'm unabashedly, our team knows who I am.
Yeah.
And I'll let our team make fun of me on, different issues, because I'm going to make fun of myself before you do.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating, because everyone's insecure in some sense or fashion, but I didn't sense that with you. I'm sure you are in certain areas, but I didn't sense that with you as we continue to grow in our trust and our friendship with one another. But I could see how if you do have someone who struggles with a lot of insecurity, how that might be difficult. Yeah.
That's going to be the biggest issue, huh. I think, for somebody that's going to come alongside you and support you well is just how well they know themselves and are comfortable with themselves, not comfortable with themselves and that they're not going to grow and develop and, you know, be open to what God is trying to work on them. Because we all, you know, we all know that we're a work in progress, and just when we think we've got everything squared away, God reveals a new thing or an old thing that we thought we had dealt with wasn't really there. Mm. So I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying from a, I'm not talking about a character piece. I'm talking about a understanding their identity, knowing who they are, but also who they are in Christ, and being comfortable in that progression that they're making, I guess.
Yeah. And I would say that that's probably a key characteristic you would want for anyone on a lead team. And I mean, that's just, yeah. And I wasn't planning on making this transition here, but basically, I mean, it's interesting, right? So it's been less than a month now that my new book has come out, right? At the time when this book, the book, but when the episode releases. And it's interesting as I continue to do more interviews about the book and as I'm now re-looking at it, because it's been 2 years since I started the project, as I've been rereading and re-looking and talking about it to several people, I can see just how much this book was really written for me and for me to understand, hey, I'm not what I do, right? I'm who God says I am. I'm not what I experience. I'm not what, you know, and each of these seven lies I see in my life, all the times that I've believed and still unfortunately live my life believing this lie and trying to fight this temptation. And I think when it comes to leadership, I would say every staff member, but especially at the top, the more you can know yourself and the people around you know themselves, the more that happens, the better your team is, the healthier the team is going to be. And which is why I think the Enneagram is such a huge assessment. I know people are like, oh, Enneagram again, you're talking about it. But really, it's the one assessment that gets to your core motivations. A lot of the other ones are about, okay, this is how you do work or the way you do work and all that. And the Enneagram has aspects of that, but it's kind of that shadow side of why do you do what you do? Like deep, 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 deep down inside. And that's the neat thing about that. So make sure to do as many assessments as you can as a team, because it'll only help. But don't necessarily do it at the surface level. Choose one that you can go really deep with. So there you go. Thanks again for listening into the New Churches Q&A podcast. If you haven't yet left a question, be sure to do that. If you have another question or a deeper question on this, be sure to send that in. All you got to do is go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. If you're on your mobile device or if you're on your cell phone, just go to newchurches.com. Or sorry, if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right, and send a voicemail. All right, we'll catch you next time. And just one more thing. As you know, our hope is to always equip you with the best resources to help churches thrive. So if you're looking at launching a thriving church in a rented venue, I encourage you to check out the team at Portable Church. Portable Church Industries equips churches meeting in alternative venues with total solutions so you can launch strong, be reproducible, and thrive in your communities. For over 25 years, they have partnered with church planters and multi-site leaders, mastering creative, intelligent, effective, portable church solutions so you and your team can stay focused on the things that matter, building disciples. See what this looks like by visiting portablechurch.com/lifeway.